Welcome to the IC Church podcast. We pray this message helps you to love, build, and reach your world.
Amen. Praise God. The presence of God is here today. And I just want to honor Pastor Paul and Pastor Joe. And man, we're just so honored to know them. Pastor Paul has come and preached for us at Fearless every time he's in town. And I remember one time we were in an Armenian television studio. We've been everywhere. We when you plant a church, you end up somewhere, but you've been everywhere. We've took a tour around the whole city. And so he came when we were in an Armenian television studio. I don't even know how we were there. We were there 1 week and Pastor Paul was there. And I remember the presence of God hitting our church so heavily. It went beyond the timer. And I remember Pastor Paul looking at me and saying, "Hey, do you want me to close the timers up?" And I felt like the Lord asked me, he said, "What kind of church do you want?" And I said, "No, keep going, Pastor. This is what we've been praying for." And it just shifted something in our church, because I don't believe people are coming back to church post-COVID for a nice message. I believe they're coming back for an encounter with God. I can get a nice message on a podcast. I can get a nice message in a book. I can get a nice message at home in my pajamas watching TV. But there is something about being together, encountering the living presence of God where he is gathered with his children. I mean, my mother is always happy when me and my sisters are together. And so God the Father is always happier when his children are together. We know that he says where two or more are gathered together in his name and agree. Come on, that's why we had to do worship before the word, because we didn't agree coming in, right? We carried all our stuff coming in. But no matter where we're at, we tuned our hearts together and we agreed. That word is a musical word. It's like they tuned their instruments. We tuned our hearts during worship, and now we're ready for the word. Come on, anybody ready for the word today? I want to just read this over you, Isaiah 54:2, and I think it goes along with I see church, because I see more than what's here now. I see more that God wants to do in your neighborhood. And if you just think I'm talking about numbers in church, no, I'm talking about your neighbors. I'm talking about your coworkers. I'm talking about your family members that don't know Christ coming to Christ. This church is too beautiful not to be filled to the brims. Amen? Come on, I'm believing the next time I come here, this place is so full that we have to add another service. And what a blessing this place is. Come on, this is like a proper church right here. This is like you got everything you need, and now we just need to get the lost in here. Amen? Amen. Look at Isaiah 54:2. It says, "Clear lots of ground for your tents. Make your tents large. Spread out. Think big. Use plenty of rope. Drive in the tent pegs deep. You're going to need lots of elbow room for your growing family. You're going to take over whole nations. You're going to resettle abandoned cities. Don't be afraid. You're not going to be embarrassed. Don't hold back. You're not going to come up short. You will forget all about the humiliations of your youth." I want to show you a picture of my family. This is my family who I miss dearly by now. We're here at the end of the week. This is my beautiful wife. She is a pastor's daughter. I married a guy named Glenn Berteau, who used to come to this nation a lot and preach, and I'm actually carrying around his Bible right now. And I married the pastor's daughter, and she's the love of my life. And this is my daughter, Lyric, on the right. My son, Brave, who's playing a soccer game right now, so pray for him that gets a goal. And then my littlest one, Arrow, who is all of our favorite together. She is the best. And so I love my family. And when our family began to grow, the last time I was here, me and my wife were here in the flood. And literally, we were coming down out of the elevator, and Pastor Reggie Dabbs was going, he was coming down, we were going up, and he's like, "Where are you going?" I'm like, "Well, we're going to our room." And he goes, "Do you not watch the news?" And I said, "No, not in other countries. I don't watch the news here. I don't care, you know, I'm just here to preach." And he goes, "There's a flood. We got to get out of here. get all your stuff. And so it was just me and my wife. It was just me and my wife back then. And since then, we've added to our family. We had to expand our tents. We used to be able to fit in an apartment, and now we're in a home, and that home's crowded, and you know, there's good and inconvenient things about growing, but the growth is amazing because it's my family. It's not a corporation. It's not a restaurant I like. It's not an airplane ride. It's my family. And so I love when my family grows. Come on, do you love when your family grows? And so, you know, I want to preach a message. Just this is what I'm entitling this message. I love my church. This has become a saying at our church, Fearless, in Los Angeles. Our church, we are seeing a lot of young adults come back to Christ and come to Christ for the first time. And along a young adults have bought into the lie of, I love Jesus, but I just don't love the church. And they've been through some stuff. They've seen some stuff they haven't liked. And so I'm just bringing back, not what Jeremy says. I'm bringing back what God says about his bride. Can you imagine after the service if you came up to me and said, man, we just love you. We honor you. But your bride that you showed us, we don't like the looks of her. We don't like her. We don't ever want to see her. We just want to love you. Can you imagine my campus pastor who's here with me today, Pastor Carlos over here. Can you imagine if he said, Pastor, I love you, but I just don't love your wife. How many of you guys know he wouldn't be a campus pastor very long? Because y'all thought I was running this church, but it was actually my wife running this church. She is the lead pastor. Amen. You can't love me without at the same time loving my bride. And so we say we love Jesus, and if we love Jesus, we will at the same time love his church, which he calls his bride. Now, his church is not this building. It's not the cool sound. It's not the cool screens. It's not located here on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. The church is you. The church is me. The church is us being called out alone, chosen alone, and put into this beautiful family together. Now, when COVID happened, we finally got a building. Our church was meeting on the beach with seven, and then we went to a coffee shop. Then we got kicked out of the coffee shop. Then we went to a warehouse. Then we went to a Charlie Chaplin Studios. Then we went to four different nightclubs. I mean, we were all over the city, and we finally, after 7 years of being a church, set up and tear down, set up and tear down. God bless the set up and tear down team. Amen. Praise God. Give you a shout. We finally got to come to church a little later, right? We finally got to sail the big truck that we were driving everything around in, and it was kind of a sad moment, but exciting moment when we got a building in downtown LA. We were 30 feet from the Staples Center, and so we just began to raise money. And when we got our building, it looked like the movie Saw. You know, that it just looked scary in there. There was things that lived in there that you know, rats the size of animals. And so we fixed it up. We painted everything. We put our finances as young adults, everything we had, into getting a sound system and some lights and different things that we needed for the kids ministry. And the first day we had a soft launch open was the day that the world reported about this weird thing called COVID. And I'm sitting on the front row and we're like getting these texts. And then we keep reading and reading. And ultimately we find out we cannot meet next week. We can't even use this building that we just started renting a month ago. And I thought, man, God, you missed the timing of this one. Like, you should have warned me. If we were just in the nightclubs, we could have saved some money. But now here we are paying rent on a building we can't use. And we fixed up a building we can't use. In that time, in our nation, there was a lot of racial unrest. There was a lot of protests that turned to riots. There was just a lot going on. And here I am, a small country boy from a town with more cows than people, that God called to Los Angeles. I call it Los Angeles because I'm constantly lost there. We have over 40,000 homeless people that live three blocks from our church. When we used to meet in the nightclubs, on our way into church, there would be five people doing heroin in the alley. as I went to church. We literally had the man at the temple gate, beautiful. We would pass and try to pray for on the way in and out of church with my kids, getting out of the car with feces in the alley. This was a breakthrough miracle to have a building. And finally, when we get to where we think God has for us, the whole world falls apart. And I started telling God, God, you got the wrong guy. You got the wrong timing. And how many of you guys know God doesn't make mistakes? He said, Jeremy, I didn't make a mistake. I didn't get the wrong guy. I chose you for such a time as this. He said, but you keep looking at others. You need to look at me. He said, what did I do? I said, well, you came and you loved and you served. And he said, then do that. Love and serve and you will win. And so we began to give out food. We began to wash cars. We gave out over 5 million pounds of food through our little doors, right? We turned our whole building into a food center. We just were getting food and food, and we were finding food. The government ended up hiring our church to pass out food. They said everyone else that we give food to is selling it on the streets to live, to survive. We don't trust them. We heard you guys are giving out food, so can we pay you to give out pounds? So they started paying us. They started paying us $1 a box. And so we were like, okay, well, this will help us keep renting the building and we can hire everyone that lost their job. And so we were just there giving we were feeding our city and getting paid by the government to do it. Come on, somebody. There was this little area underneath our church, by our church, that was an abandoned parking lot. I kept seeing it. I kept thinking, man, maybe we can't gather inside because we'll get ostracized in the news, but maybe we could gather outside. And so I saw this little parking lot under 10 freeway in downtown Los Angeles next to the Staples Center sign. And I started calling on it every day. But in that time, everyone had abandoned downtown LA. Literally, there were riots and buildings were burning and it was just chaos to live down there. And so everyone abandoned, so no one was answering their phones. And so God gave me a story in the Bible of a moment that Jesus needed a ride into town. And he told his disciples, I want you to go down into town and there's going to be a donkey tied up. It's somebody else's. So here's what I need you to do. Untie it, bring it to me. If anyone tries to stop you, just tell them Jesus has need of it and come on up. So I read that verse. And I said, okay, we're going to go down to Home Depot, the local hardware store. We're going to get some bolt cutters, and we're going to cut the gate on the lock. And we're going to use this parking lot. And if anybody has asked us what we're doing it, I told my campus pastor, just tell them Jesus has need of it. You think I'm joking? We did that, man. This is Los Angeles. We're going for it. And so we had church in that abandoned parking lot. For over 9 months, people would drive up with their cars. Instead of amening, they would honk their horns. We had trains going by me. I had to wear in-ears just to hear myself preach. It was crazy. And then we'd give out food. We'd wash their cars, and we'd have people meet Jesus. People through their windows would put up signs, thank you, I received Jesus today. And as we were there for a while, people began to get out of their cars. They began to fill up the little section that we had. And eventually, we found out that there was something greater than COVID. It was called loneliness. It was called isolation. It was called sin. It was called shame. And so we said, okay, God, now's the time. We need to be able to open up our building. And so John MacArthur had sued the state and he won. And so because of that suing, we got to open our church again. And so I didn't have to be the one that sued. Thank God for Pastor John MacArthur. But I got to embrace the blessings. And we opened our church. We didn't know who would come in. We kept the drive-thru going. No one went to the drive-thru. Everyone started coming in. Since that day, our church has been exploding. God, we've moved things out. We had to take more buildings. We had to move the kids' ministry. We had to add more chairs. Just last week, we bought another 100 chairs. Every week, about 100 people are giving their life to Jesus at our church. Come on, somebody. That's the good news. I know what they tell you about downtown LA, but man, God works great in dark places. The light shines bright in dark places. Amen? Amen. Ephesians 1:20 says this. I love my church. Ephesians 1:20 says, all of this issues from Christ. Look, it's not us. Where the life is coming from. It's not us. All of this energy issues from Christ. And the word energy is not a junior high 13-year-old word who stayed up all night and drank a whole bunch of Red Bull energy drinks. The word energy is not God needing you to be his cheerleader. The word energy is a scientific word. It simply means the ability to do work. All of this ability to do work. How many of you guys know faith without works is dead? That's why Pastor Hammers is trying to get you activated in your faith, because if you just have faith, it will eventually die. But you got to have works with your faith. You're not saved because of works, but if you're saved, you will work, because it's the energy that comes from Christ. And energy cannot be created and it can't be destroyed. It can only be captured or released. And when it's released, it comes out in heat, in light, in power, in movement, and in sound. I'll say that again. In heat, in light, in power, in movement, and in sound. If the church is releasing what God puts in you, it will come out in heat, in light, in power, in movement, and in sound. And if it hasn't been released yet, it hasn't been destroyed. It's just been stored for another day. Some of us have been storing for a long time, and this is your year to release what God put in you. Come on, somebody. Ephesians 1:20, all of this energy is issued from Christ. Man didn't make this. God made this. Who God raised from the dead and set him on a throne in deep heaven, in charge of running the universe. Everything from galaxies, I love this part, to governments. No name, no power is exempt from his rule. And not just for the time being, but forever. He is in charge of it all. He has the final word on everything. How much does he have the final word on? Everything. And at the center of all this, Christ rules. What does he rule? The church. I love how you say church. The church. Christ rules the church. Think about his job description. He said he's in charge of everything. My son is in charge from galaxies that we have not discovered. To governments that have not yet to rise or fall. Yet at the center, the number one on his list is not galaxies and it's not governments, but it's the church. If there's one thing that God cares about, it's the top of the list. It's the church. It says he's in charge of it all. Christ rules the church. The church you see is not peripheral to the world. The world should be peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body. Look at this. In which he speaks. Do we have that part? No, we don't have that. The Christ's body in which he speaks and which he acts and by which he fills everything with his, I love it, there you got it, in which he speaks, in which he acts, in which he fills everything with his presence. So if you don't want to be a part of the church, you don't get to be a part of his speech. You don't get to be a part of his act. You don't get to be a part of his, I love the people that say this thing, I'm going to do Jesus by myself. All these crazy people, I don't want to be around all these hypocrites. And I always say, man, we could use one more. I'm just going to do Jesus over here because it's easy. It is easier. Amen. It was easier to be a single man than to have a family. People always say this when they come to my church. They go, are you having fun yet? That's what they tell pastors. They come to pastors, other pastors will go, are you having fun yet? And I'm always like, yeah, a lot of fun. I mean, Sunday's fun, but the rest, I mean, you know. And God began to speak to me. He said, no, they're asking the wrong question. It's not if you're having fun. It's are you fulfilled? Because sometimes having a family isn't fun. And all the single people are like, I can't believe you said that. But all the married people are like, amen, praise God. I mean, it's the diapers. I'm thankful we're out of that stage. God, you're going to get through it. Then they tell you, once you get through it, then they got the toddlers, then you got the teenage stage. Then you're like, okay, how? I don't know. Everything starts over. And they said it only gets good when you become grandparents. Amen, praise God, because you can send them back home. Is it fun? No, it's not fun. Is it fulfilling? Yes, it is fulfilling. The years are short and the days are long. If you want to hear his voice, if you want to feel his presence, it says he fills the church with these things. I love this, what it says in Hebrews chapter 10. Look at this, Hebrews chapter 10. It says, and let us consider, Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 24. It says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Let us consider how to stir up, not neglecting the meeting together as some, not y'all, as some are in the habit, but encourage, put courage in each other all the more as the day is drawing near. Put courage, encourage each other. Don't give up on us. Don't give up on this. I know it's easier to walk away, but it will be worth it if you remain. You got to stir some people up. My wife, she loves to order the foo-foo drinks at Starbucks. And what I mean by that is it's not just a flat white, it's a vanilla flat white. And so there's more sugar in it than coffee. And I think she actually likes some coffee with her sugar, not some sugar with her coffee. And so she loves the vanilla flat white. She said, oh, if I give her not a vanilla flat white, she goes, oh, this tastes like coffee. I'm like, oh, that's the point. Yeah, I'm getting you a coffee. And so I like it. It tastes more like coffee, but she likes to taste more like vanilla. And so I know every time I order it, what's going to happen? Because I'm going to bring it to the car, and I'm going to hand it to her. She's going to take a sip, and she's going to say, honey, I think you got to run back in there because I think they forgot the vanilla. It tastes too much like coffee. And then I'll pull out of my pocket this little thing called a stir stick. And I'll say, oh, no, I saw them put it in, but it just fell to the bottom. They put it in the top, but over the time of me bringing it from the restaurant to you, it sunk to the bottom. If you want to taste it, you just got to stir it. My Bible says, some people, you got to stir. You know what I'm saying? You're like, man, that tastes like bitterness. Man, that tastes dark. That doesn't taste like I wanted it. I thought I ordered a vanilla flat white. I thought I ordered a good friend over here. But I'm not tasting that goodness and that kindness and that mercy. And then the pastor says, oh, I'm just here to stir you. See, this is what we're doing every week. We're just stirring ourselves. The word should stir you. We should stir each other. Come on, touch your neighbor and say, neighbor. You got to stir me. Some of us fell to the bottom. It's way down in there. It's there. Just way down in there. Life has been difficult this month. Family has been rough. I'm still here. It's still there, but I need it to be stirred. Come on, that's our job. That's our job, to stir each other to love and to good works. It's our job. If someone's being funky, don't give up on the funky person. They're not a throwaway. God loves them. You may not taste the love of God in them yet. Just stir. It's somewhere down in there. Amen? Anybody had some friends they had to stir? Anybody had a spouse they had to stir? I won't raise their hand. Amen. Praise God. Anybody had a... David would stir himself. Man, God's looking for some people that are willing to stir themselves. Paul tells Timothy, stir up the gift of God that was in you from the laying on of hands. You come in this room stale and broken and don't want to be here. Stir yourself up in the Lord. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Come on, that's what mature people do. Amen. Amen. Look at this, what it says in Psalms 92:12. It says this, the righteous, I love my church, the righteous, Psalms 92:12, the righteous shall flourish. He said that word earlier. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow up like the cedar of Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord, shall flourish in the courts of their God. They shall still, come on somebody, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. Man, I don't want to be an old crusty Christian. I don't want to be an old angry Christian. I don't want to be an old fruitless Christian. I want to be an on fire, radical fruit field. I want to have the fruit of the Holy Spirit in my life in old age. I want to be mature in my body and mature in my spirit. Amen. And so if we get planted in God's house, the Bible promises that even into old age, we shall be fat and flourishing, faithful, available, and teachable. Not fat, faithful, available, and teachable, and flourishing. To show forth that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. This word to flourish, now this is not a manly word. No men would get this word tattooed on their body, or it's not a men's conference kind of name. You know, the men didn't get excited about flourishing. You know, you're not going to go to the gym tomorrow and say, what's going on in your life? I'm flourishing, bro. These guns are flourishing, you know. But the word flourishing, I had to look it up to get some excitement about it as a man. And so I just want to do this for the men here because all the women are excited to flourish. But the men, it just means by definition, in dictionary definition, it means a person or living organism that is placed in a particularly favorable environment that grows, develops in a healthy, vigorous way. Another similar words to this word flourish is to grow, to thrive, to prosper, to develop, to increase, to multiply, to shoot up, to bloom, to bear fruit, and to boom. Come on, I don't know if we got any men here today that want to boom in their faith. They want to bloom. Come on. So we're gonna be a flourishing church. We're going to be a church that gets planted in the house of God. And the word says, to those that are planted, they will produce fruit. Fruit that remains. When the storm comes, it will knock off the fruit to those that can't get up. But the fruit will remain, meaning not the fruit will just stay on the tree. When the fruit knocks off, more fruit will come. There's unlimited fruit that comes because the tree has been planted by the rivers of the living water. Come on, when you get planted in the house, not potted in the house, planted, not potted, the promise is not to those that are potted. The promise is to those that are planted. I brought my friend Carlos here today, and we came to your nice church. What a lovely church. I mean, what a lovely group. These chairs are comfy, man. These are nice chairs. And wasn't the coffee good? The coffee was so good, man. We're new visitors here today. I mean, this guy's Latino. Come on, he's Hispanic. He loves to dance, loves to party. Come on, come with me. And look at all these nice people, man. They think they could deal with us here? I don't know, man. We both got long hair, crazy, wild. You know, we bought our pots here today and our plants here today. I've been growing. He's growing in a different way. And so, you know, I'm still waiting for fruit. Haven't seen fruit yet, but I'm believing for it. And I've been a couple of places. I'm not a seed. The manure has unlocked some things in me, and I became a plant. And so I've been around the circus. I know a few places and things in the Word of God, and I've learned a few things. But I'm here because my season somewhere else was up, and now I'm in a new season. And I'm just here checking y'all out. I'm just seeing if this is okay. You know, I may not fill out the card right away or get involved in the class, the new believers class, just yet. I just need to make sure this is the right home for me and my friend because, you know, we came in our pots today. I don't know how this church is with new people, but we're new here. So we're going to just sit right here. And see, this is okay when it's your first time. Or your second time, or your third time, or maybe even to a month. But at some point, it's time to stop checking out the bride. There was a guy pursuing my daughter when she gets older, and he's just saying, I'm just still checking her out. I said, bro, you better check out. Or check in. Because at some point, You just messing around. You're saying one thing, but doing another. See, this is not a business we bring our business to. This is a family. This is not a consumer product we call the church. I know it can feel like that at times, but this is a family. This is a covenant community, not a consumer product. And I need to tell you that because now we're in the business of doing business at this business, and we get hurt when it's only a business. We come that way and believe that way, and then we're mad when it's not a family. If you want a family, you gotta believe like it's a family. This table is not a restaurant table where your pastor is the nice waiter coming by to serve you a steak that you're gonna pay for and tip at the end. This is a family table. Can you imagine if I treated my home like I do a restaurant? It makes sense at the restaurant to get frustrated if the waiter doesn't come bring you the menu in time and the music's too loud and the food doesn't taste good and it's a little too salty and I asked for potatoes but you gave me a sandwich. It's okay to get a little frustrated at the restaurant, but not at a family table. Can you imagine if I started snapping my hands when the food was cold and my mom comes over, what's going on, son? Is everything okay? I've never seen you snap your hands in the house. Well, the food is cold. Well, I heated it. It's too cold for my liking. It's a little too salty. I didn't ask for a sandwich. I ordered what was on the menu. How many of you guys know I would have to go through a death, burial, and hopefully a resurrection? Because what works at a restaurant does not work at a home. So we bring our restaurant self to a house. And we don't like the product that we get. And we're confused. And God said, I didn't call you to be potted. I called you to be planted. Are you sure you want me to come out of this pot? Because I'm actually double potted. I got a pot inside a pot. This one's the pretty one on the outside. But I got the plastic me right here. I got the piece of me that hasn't come out in a long time. I once used to live in a garden and I was just a seed and the manure unlocked the seed. But I didn't like certain parts of the manure. So I have a little bit with me. And I don't know if you'll accept the roots of me. I know you enjoyed the plot. I'm making a mess in this church already. There's a mess on aisle 4. Are you going to judge me because of the mess? Are you going to look down on me because of the mess? I should have stayed in my pot. I should have hid in my pot. You liked my pot. You liked me when I said everything's going good and I got no problems. How's it going, bro? Everything's perfect in my marriage. Everything's perfect with my kids. How are you? Perfect? Great. Glad we're perfect together. And God says, when you get here long enough to be who you really are, God says, I can't touch the plastic you. I can only touch the real you. I can't feed the plastic. I need to feed the roots. There's something about the roots that have to come out so I can feed them, so I can touch them. Your tears don't water the plastic you or the pot. Your tears water your roots. See, the life of the plant isn't found on what's on the surface. The real life of the plant is found in the ugly part. The part below that no one sees. It's what God feeds. It's where life is searched for and pushed through and broken through. In fact, the roots show you how hard I had to push to break through. Showed you how hard I had to fight for the water that I receive. It's my roots that really tell you who I am, not just my fruit. My fruit tells you who God is, but my roots tell you where he met me. And God says, if you want to flourish, you can't stay potted. You got to get planted. In the city I live in, they have an area called the Redwoods. These trees are towering. They're so big, they look like buildings. And they survive storm after storm after storm because they do it together. But it's not the top of the trees that give them their power. It's that their roots intertwine in the bottom. They don't even touch at the top. They are not even connected to the tree next to them at the top. They look separate, but if you could go below the surface, you would see this root touches that root to touch this root. And no matter the storm, no matter the trial, no matter the flood, no matter the rain, the tree remains into old age and keeps growing and growing and thriving, not because of it, but because of the system it's plugged into. This is a family. Welcome to the family. Come home to the family. Come home to your house. I can be married legally and not come home. But my marriage won't be very good. You can be a Christian legally and not come home. But your purpose and your destiny will not be fulfilled. Because God called us together. He says, where there are two or more gathered together, and they agree. That word agree is to harmonize. It's what the band did. Wasn't it beautiful? It was beautiful because they harmonized. You know what's crazy? You don't even have to be a musician. If they didn't harmonize, you would hear it. How do I know that? Because just watch American Idol. You know which one can't sing. And you can't sing. And you're laughing at them, and you wouldn't do it any better. Because you don't know how to sing. The world is looking at a disharmonious church. And they're listening. Tell me about Jesus. Tell me about who he is. And we're playing in different keys. We brought our instruments out of tune. You know, to tune an orchestra, they never use an instrument inside the room alone. They take the fourth violin outside the room and tune it to perfection. And bring it back in, and the fourth violin plays a note, and everyone tunes, not to each other, to the violin. If they tune to the fourth violin, the Holy Spirit, then they're automatically tuned to each other. What are we here to do? We're here to tune. Maybe someone hurt you. Maybe someone walked out on you. But it's not enough to give up on his bride. Because if you don't quit, it gets better. That's true for marriage. It's true for every relationship. If God didn't give up on his bride, why should I? If there's anybody that should hate the bride of Christ, it would be the groom. Because this bride killed her groom on the wedding night. David should hate the bride. It was his own king that hated on him, his own wife that rejected him, his own men, his own son. But David said, there is a zeal. The zeal for your house consumes me. Jesus said the same. My heart leaps to your house. When they couldn't find Jesus, where'd they find him as a teenager? Didn't you know I'd be in my father's house? Yet that house would crucify him. Peter looked at the church as a covenant community. He had a great pastor named Jesus. Judas looked at the church as a consumer product. He had a great pastor named Jesus. But they ended up in two different fates. The same sun that melts wax hardens clay. God, let me be the wax. Melt my heart when I walk through things with this group of crazy wild people, because I'm crazy too. And if they're that crazy, I might as well come out of this pot and show them my roots. And maybe together we could bring a garden. Isn't that what Adam left? The garden? Maybe God's looking for Eden again. And the church could be that. If we would just come together and say, you know what? We're different, but that's okay. They actually put different plants together because they provide different resources for each other. Your body, you only have one nose in your whole body, but you need it. You got one heart, but you need it. Don't say, oh, just because I'm different here, I don't fit here. No, no, your value just went up. I got 10 fingers, but I only got one nose. Praise God for my nose. We're the body. We're the family.
Thank you so much for listening. To find out more about IC Church, visit icchurch.com.